reminding the church in case the brothers had forgotten to say to the congregation. Be mindful, of course, that others of our members might be away. I usually give the opportunity, if there is any question arising from the lesson this morning, I give the opportunity to visitors or members alike to seek clarification on anything arising from the lesson. If not, we therefore will go into the lesson that is planned for tonight. And I title it, God Prioritizes and Encourages Us or Asks Us to Do the Same. And this is in respect to serving God, doing God's will, trying to please God. There are some priorities. And we have a way of thinking. Well, let me back up. Everything we do to please God is important. Everything we do that is within the compass of God, it is important. But we have a way of generalizing. We say one thing is not more important than the other. And in that case, we are wrong. When I mention that God prioritizes, it is in respect to the will of God. And today's lesson, we will look on some instances. I may also add that this grew out of the Wednesday night Bible study as we look on Cain and Abel and their gifts. In the book of 1 Samuel, a passage that most of us are well acquainted with. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and particularly verse 22 and 23. Read, Jonathan.
And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
As God has great delight in burnt sacrifices,
as in obeying the voice of the Lord,
behold,
to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams.
Okay, I'm smiling because I wonder how many of you detect that in the text just read, both statement, the Almighty God right there is prioritizing. Read it again.
And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
Burnt offering and
sacrifices.
Sacrifices.
as in obeying the
Watch here. That is being placed against obeying the voice of the Lord. You see, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, that's one set of right things, as in obeying the voice of God. So this is another thing. And here, the prophet is in effect telling the Israelites that as important as this is, it is not as important as this. So right there we have God, through Samuel, is showing that there are some things that are more important. In a little while, I tried, and most Sunday night, to keep my lesson where by a certain time, so I'm hoping that I don't have to come back to this lesson. I plan to show that this, what has just been expressed here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the brother read verse 22, and did I permit you to read verse 23? No. Okay, read it then, brother.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Okay, may I? I just said a little while, I started traveling through. France, we'll be going to text like Isaiah, we'll be going to text like Jeremiah, we'll be going to text like Hosea, we'll be going to text like Micah, where the same thought of God showing the Israelites that there are some things that he asks for, that some things are more important than the others. It doesn't mean that you must do one and abandon the other. It only means that you must have your priority right. That is, you must make sure that you understand that the important one must never be sacrificed for the other. But we'll get to that. In fact, that's what he's showing Saul here now. You see. So, as I've said, in this passage, we see and we learn that God prioritizes, and that in serving the Almighty God, in pleasing God, in relating to God, some things have priority, importance over other things. We must keep that in mind. In the passage here of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 10:23, in this text, let me put it this way, this text expresses a great truth, a truth that is timely, a truth that is relevant, and the truth that is applicable in all biblical dispensation and biblical ages. The truth just stated by Samuel, that in verse 22, let us hear verse 22 again.
And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
Keep in mind, God is the one who asked for sacrifice. God is the one who commanded the Israelites to sacrifice. But what the Almighty God is saying, don't ever trample on my clear, direct command and believe that sacrifice will replace it. Don't ever take God's clear, implicit command, directive. Don't ever take it for granted or lightly. As I say, what has just been stated here is a truth that we must keep in mind for ourselves, and it's a truth that we must keep teaching others, explaining to them the implication of what Samuel had just said. To obey is better than sacrifice. But God, sacrifice, you are the one who commands sacrifice. Yes. But God is saying, never push aside my implicit, direct, plain command. Push it aside so as to go and sacrifice. Now, the Almighty God is not saying you must choose one against the other. But He's saying, make sure that you understand that when I plainly command anything, that takes priority over everything else. We need to learn that. We need to learn that for ourselves, and to learn that that is an important truth to use to teach men and women. Don't treat any of God's commands lightly. Believe you can throw it one side, evade it, because you like this one. Don't ever attempt to do that. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to listen to what He's saying is better than the fat of rams. That is prioritizing. And this truth is not only timely, it is relevant, and it is applicable in every biblical dispensation. The patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaical dispensation, and the Christian dispensation. As I said, the truth has just been stated. But if you ask me to put it in words, I'm saying this. It means humble, willing, and respectful obedience to God's declared will and purpose is the primary duty of His true servants. I'm going to repeat that. When we humbly, when we willingly, when we respectfully give obedience to God, the clear will and purpose, there is no greater duty we have anywhere. And we must be mindful of that. Without this, all else is sinful and counted as rebellion. take the subject, for example, the Almighty God says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. The Almighty God said that through the writer of the book of Hebrews. Don't stay away from the assembly when others of my people are meeting to worship me. That's what that means. It is a plain, simple, easy to be understood command. Now, I may find it convenient for myself to decide to skip two or three services. You know, I have some friends visiting the home this week, and I have a friend I had to visit next week. It never dawned on me to tell the friends or relatives that I have to go to church. The time I go to worship belongs to God. God is the one who gives me all the time to do my business. I set aside some time for him and it belongs to him. I don't see it that way. I don't reason that way. Some things come up and I just push aside what the passage, of course, Hebrews is not the only one. The Almighty God has given us a lot of examples in the book of Acts of the Apostles where Christians met, assembled together regularly. But Hebrews is a command. Worded in the negative, forsake not the assembling of yourself, the coming together. So for my own reason, I decided to just put that one side whenever it's convenient for me. And I tell myself, you know what, when I turn up to church week after next, I'm going to give extra offering. You have it wrong. You have it so wrong that that extra offering you're going to give may become a sin in God's sight. Because you are thinking in a twisted way. The Almighty God says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. When you forsake the assembling of yourself, you had control over it. It's not a situation that something comes up that you didn't have any control over. You had control over it. But you just brush God's command one side and feel, it's not that important. I can make up for it. You never make up for that. Because one act of worship does not take the place of the one that you have purposely abandoned. So when you decide that you are going to give extra offering, or you may decide, you know, I missed two Sundays because I run about to visit some friend, etc. So, when I go this coming Sunday, you know what I'm going to do? I don't usually go Wednesday night Bible study, but I'm going to turn up at Wednesday night Bible study to make up in the sight of God. That's right. You see, brothers and sisters, there are many ways Satan put in here for us to rationalize our way to hell. That's right, many ways. Coming Wednesday night does not take the place of the Lord's Day worship. Wait, and the Lord's Day worship does not take the place of coming Wednesday night to Bible studies, to worship and learn about God. Let me use you see something like baptism that the denominational world just use as football. Baptism, you know, the lesson we have this morning and picking up Sunday. It was in the week in studying. One commentator was pointing out that of all the commands Jesus Christ gave, none has the awesomeness that this one, which entails baptism, has in respect to the Great Commission. That's why, you know, it is the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. All authority has been given to me, or all power in heaven and on earth. All power. Go you therefore and do this on the basis of this all power. It is baptizing and the teaching of the gospel that accompanies that Great Commission. And when man-made churches would take baptism and say it's not essential to salvation, my God, there's no way man-made churches can ever make up in the sight of God for that arrogance. Because it is an arrogance. The Bible makes the necessity of baptism to salvation plain, clear, all through the Bible. May I? There is no other act of salvation, not that so dramatically reenact the redeeming acts of Jesus Christ. No other thing we do in becoming Christian that causes us to go through the spiritually or symbolically through the death of Christ, through the burial of Christ, through the resurrection of Christ. Baptism is the only act that does that. When I take you and sprinkle you, there is no way I can reenact the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Baptism was designed by heaven to give the prospective convert the opportunity to form a solidarity with Jesus Christ in that which Jesus Christ did to redeem us. He died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. When man-made churches, however small they are, however big they are, come up with sprinkling to replace this, there is nothing under God high heaven that church or denomination can ever do to redeem themselves from this heinous sin, because that is rebellion. Rebellion. They are replacing what God put down for what they think is convenient. Nothing. The only thing they can do is to see the error of their ways and repent. When the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen to God is better than the fat of rams, sprinkling is one of those things. In respect to baptism, you cannot throw baptism one side, count it as unnecessary, not that important, when the Almighty God put the importance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on baptism. God did that. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's prioritizing. To listen than the fat of rams. To put aside or treat lightly what God has plainly stated and required to do that. That is, to put it one side. To treat it lightly. Whatever God has plainly stated and required is idolatry because it cuts at the root of the authority of God. When I or an angel decided that, you know, this is not so convenient. In order to baptize you, we would have to find a river somewhere around the place or take you to the sea. We would have to build a pool and all of that. We can more conveniently do it by throwing a little water and your God will accept it. That's what Nadab and Abihu thought. Light their censer from the closest fire. The Almighty God killed them right there. We cannot, you cannot come up with your own substitute for what God has plainly taught. Because when you do that, you are getting at the authority of God and the Godness of God. It's that divine authority. When God states, this is what I want you to be buried under the water. When God states that, and you come up with convenient thing that seems okay to you, you are putting up your wisdom and knowledge against God. And you are implying that the way you see things is wiser, more knowledgeable, more enlightening than God's. You are undermining the Godness of God. That's why, you know, it's important that we understand sin. Because from sin that we just say, me not see anything wrong with it, the Almighty God sees everything that is wrong with it. God prioritizes. As I said, when we do, we cut at the root of God's authority. It is the assertion of power that is I'm asserting my power, my wisdom, my knowledge against the power and the wisdom of God. Make sure that God's in the New Testament, in the Gospel, show all the reverence and the respect for them as you can. Because when God gives us anything, He doesn't want anything to come above that. Let us run to a few passages. Let's look at Isaiah 1, 11 through 19, Jeremiah 6, 19 through 20. Let us look at these few passages. There are some more. In all these passages, you are going to see God prioritizing. In all these passages, there are probably two or three more I'll give you. Let us hear Isaiah 1, 11 through 19, Isaiah, Jeremiah 6, 19 through 20.
To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?
Watch here. Here again. May I? God prioritized and He asks us to prioritize. Brother, to what purpose is your?
Is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?
The multitude of your sacrifices. So there are many sacrifices. Watch here now. Isn't it that God commanded sacrifices? Yes. Read on.
Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks.
All of these, you know, are things that God asked the Israelites for. If you don't believe me, read the book of Leviticus. Read.
Or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me.
When you come to appear before me.
Who hath required this at your hand?
Who required this at your hand?
To tread my courts.
Bring
no more vain oblations.
Now, the oblation include these sacrifices. Read.
Incense is an abomination unto me.
But God, you are the one who commanded incense.
The new moons and Sabbaths.
God, you are the one who commanded the monthly Sabbath. That's the new moon.
The calling.
The monthly Sabbath. Wait, it's important that you get this. The new moon and the Sabbath. One of them is the monthly Sabbath. One is the weekly Sabbath. But God, you are the one who commanded this. Read.
The calling of assemblies. I cannot away. I cannot away with. It is the iniquity. Even the solemn meeting.
Wait, do you know? I want you to get this. And remember, as I said, this lesson grew out of the point with Cain's sacrifice. Cain naturally gave something that God didn't ask for. Even though he gave his best, that best amounts to nothing. Watch here now. Watch here now. All that God is condemning here are things that God asked the Israelites for. But do you know what? In giving these, the Israelites were throwing some very basic, important principle one side. They took delight in giving all of these, while abandoning those simple important things. In that way, these become sinful. Read, brother. What verse are you?
14.
How much?
14.
14. Read.
Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me.
They are trouble, but God, you are the one who commanded them. Why are they no trouble to you? Because the Israelites were trampling on some other basic principle, my word, while offering these things. You don't do that. Read on.
I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you.
God says, you see, this is one of the passages, you know, you have learned from places like St. John 9:31 and 1 Peter and all these passages. Now we hear that, we know that God heareth not sinner. Here is a powerful passage. Not just one verse. All these verses, the brother is reading, I think, did I say from verse 9,
verse 11.
11 through
19.
All these is pointing or come down to the point that when the Israelites pray and hold up their hands to heaven, God says that means nothing. I'm not going to listen to your prayer. So remember this passage. When you're teaching men and women that God does not hear the prayer of sinner. Read that little part again, brother.
And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers.
Not one prayer. When you make many prayers.
I will not hear.
God says, I'm going to refuse to respond to those prayers.
Your hands are full of blood.
Your hands are full of blood.
Wash you. Make you clean.
Make yourself clean.
Put away the evil of your doing.
Put away the evil. Your brothers and sisters, the Almighty God has already told the Israelites to do those things. But they felt, they could do anything and come mechanically offer their sacrifices. God says, no, you can't do that. Those are the things that I command you to do. practice them, then these become meaningful. And your prayer will be responded to. What verse are you?
Verse 16.
Done.
Wash you.
Mm-hmm.
Make you clean.
Uh-huh.
Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Cease to do evil.
Cease to do evil.
Learn to do well.
Learn to do well.
Seek judgment.
Seek judgment.
Relieve the oppressed.
Relieve the oppressed.
Judge the fatherless.
Wait, you see that the Almighty God had a lot against them. It's not that they were just guilty of one or two things. God had a lot against them. That's why their sacrifices and other things, God said, I'm tired of it. I don't want it. You see, God is here prioritizing. Your sacrifice and other things, those are meaningful when you put these other things in place. Read on, brother.
Learn to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Seek judgment.
Uh-huh.
Relieve the oppressed.
Uh-huh.
Judge the fatherless.
Uh-huh.
Plead for the widow.
Uh-huh.
Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Though your sins be as scarlet,
they shall be
as white as snow.
You know, that's a passage that is quoted in the ages. Now you know where it is found. Though your sin be as
scarlet,
that is red, they shall be as
white as snow. Though they be red like crimson,
uh-huh,
they shall be as wool.
Mm-hmm.
If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
Let us turn to another passage where God prioritized. That's why, let us turn out. That was Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19 through 20.
Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people,
uh-huh,
even the fruit of their thoughts,
uh-huh,
because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it.
Wait, you hear God's priority here is that don't treat his word and his law lightly. That's important. And we must learn that and teach men. You don't push aside, as if it is not important, anything that God teaches. What verse?
Verse 20 now. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country?
You see, incense from Africa, Sheba, and what else?
And the sweet cane from a far country.
To what purpose, remember, you know, brothers and sisters, all these are things that God commanded the Israelites to do. The incense and all of that was necessary in the tabernacle. The Almighty God is saying, no, that is of no use to me when you are trampling and other things that I commanded you to do. So God says, to what?
Your to what purpose?
To what purpose?
Come there to me incense from Sheba,
uh-huh,
and a sweet cane from a far country.
Uh-huh.
Your burnt offerings
are
not acceptable.
Are not acceptable.
Nor your sacrifices
unto me. Here again, God is prioritizing.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel.
These are consequences that God's people will suffer as a result of not putting God's important things first. Let us run to another passage. This one is Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 6.
For I desired mercy and not sacrifice.
Wait, take time with my brother. Here, you see the great prioritizing here? God says, remember, God commanded sacrifice. But because the heart of the Israelite had grown tough and tearing, then their sacrifice has no meaning anymore. So God says, I desire
mercy. And not sacrifice.
It's not because God does not want sacrifice, but because mercy must come before sacrifice. Anything else in the verse?
And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Wait. How could I leave that out? You don't care for Bible study Wednesday night and all them time there. The time when you can ask questions and improve your knowledge. You know you are going to be saved. You know you are going to serve God. Now, there are a lot of sincere men and women who are genuinely sincere. But you know what? Because they were ignorant of some of these things that we are discussing, they're going to end up in the eternal hell. Men and women like you and me. Things. They were so certain of their sincerity that they didn't bother to put out effort to learn the will of God. Don't ever reason like that. What that passage said, brother, what you have just read?
For I desired mercy and not sacrifice.
But God desires sacrifice. What God is saying, mercy must take priority. But you must not abandon your sacrifice. But don't run giving the sacrifice and trample on mercy. Read on.
And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
Why knowledge is so important? Without knowledge, we can't do what God asks us to do the right way. And that is so today. Why did the denomination abandon baptism and come up with their own? Lack of knowledge. And even in the Lord's church, without knowledge, we cannot be simple things we carry out. We will do them our way and not God's way. Without knowledge. Here God says that he wants knowledge more than he wants sacrifice. And that was in the Old Testament system. So don't throw knowledge one side. Please. And that is applicable to both brothers and sisters. Many of us could be more productive for Jesus Christ if we have just a little more knowledge to build our confidence. Truly. The reason why so many of you are shy, you don't feel you can tell somebody about Christ, even when they are opening the door for you to tell them, because you have doubt about how much you know. I don't know it's going to go between you and God for that. Truly, many of us could accomplish much more for Christ and for the church had we had or gained a little more knowledge. The Almighty God says he wants that more than he wants sacrifice. Nothing else more in that verse. Let us just run to Psalms 51, verse 15.
O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise.
Read.
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it.
I like this passage. Here again is God prioritizing through David. You all know that this is the great Psalms when David sinned adultery and killed Uriah. This is the Psalm, Psalms 51. He said what?
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering.
Read, brother.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
Wait. You get the drift? Here again, David is talking like, God no one sacrifice. That's not what he's saying. What he's meant is that God has some priorities, some important things that must come before sacrifice. I hope you didn't miss what the brother read there last, the last part there. It's talking about disposition. That is key. Then and now. Read that little part again, brother.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A broken and contrite heart.
A broken and contrite heart. Did you know that nothing ever replaces that? All our New Testament. Did you know that that is one of the things that David had over King Saul? Did you know that why it appears as if David sinned more than King Saul? Or put it the other way, King Saul appeared as if he sinned less than David. Yet God was for David, and he rejected King Saul. It was this humble disposition. The Bible refers to it as a contrite heart. That is required today. Many Christians have problems that they do not. In fact, let me start with, I said it here already, that one of our great journalists, he died now, Maurice Cargill. Great journalist. He said many people cannot say, I'm sorry. He said, because they suffer from some complex, they think that when they say to you or me, I'm sorry, it makes them inferior. David was quick to acknowledge his sin. He had a contrite heart. One of the things my years of experience have shown me in the church is that some Christians, when they sin, they would like to turn the blame at you when they are conspicuously wrong. Out of place, they cannot see that they have done wrong. What my concern for people like that is, they don't realize that God can never forgive them if they fail to acknowledge their sin. That's a problem. You didn't hear the passage, you know. So because you didn't hear it, I'm going to ask your brother to read that little part again. Let me hear it, brother.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
That means that broken spirit, that contriteness, is so much more important than this. That's why you see David was so way ahead. He understood God. Read on, your brother, where you stopped from.
A broken and a contrite heart.
A broken and a contrite
heart.
Heart.
O God, thou wilt not despise.
That's a fact. You talk about God prioritizing. Here you have it. Give God all the sacrifice. Burn all the cow and the sheep in the world. And that meant nothing than when you have a proper disposition, attitude. That's key. That's key. That's one of the reasons that the Almighty God, I have a sermon, I've never preached it here. Probably umpteen years ago, even before we built this building, that Jesus Christ condemned before he converts. I need to preach that lesson again. Jesus Christ condemns before he converts. But Brother Mitchell, Jesus Christ said, I don't come into the world to condemn it. Yes, that's right. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell, that Christ condemned before he converts? Jesus Christ cannot bring you or me to him until he brought us to acknowledge our sin. Show us that we are in condemnation. We are in danger. We have offended him and our fellow men. Only then can Jesus Christ save us. And that's what this contrite heartness is what being discussed. You know what, brother? There are some other things that I'll have to let stay. I'll have to let a few other very important things stay. You are in Psalms. We haven't read Isaiah yet. Okay, and we haven't read Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 yet. No. But we are going to let that stay. There are quite a few other points that hopefully I will try and share it another Sunday night. I beg that you learn from what we have studied tonight. God prioritizes and he asks us to do the same. If you are here tonight, you can become a Christian. I spoke briefly about the importance of it is especially for men and women who have not become Christian God's way. And we are here to help you. And if you are here as a child of God who have grown weak, backslidden, tonight you can come and give your life to Jesus Christ. We are going to stand and sing a song to God's glory. While we are singing, you can step forward to give Jesus Christ your life. You need Christ as we stand.